Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Z DevOps Talks. My name is Chris Sales, and I'm joined today by two previous guests, folks who I like to interact with whenever possible. Their names are Jen and Kirk. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Going great.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you guys want to do a little intro? Kirk, why don't you go first?
Sure. I'm the same as I was before, Kirk Chadrick. I have global responsibilities for the DevOps hypercloud portfolio. And I get to have a lot of fun conversations with customers, not only about DevOps, but now also because of the modernization initiatives that many organizations are in. You know, these things are tied closely together. So there's a lot of excitement, and AI is adding even more excitement to that. So yeah. Fun times.
Nice, nice. Welcome back. Jen, how are you?
I am doing fine. Peachy keen. And I too haven't changed in terms of what I do, but I am focused on the Americas and I work with clients and how they want to change, modernize, transform in the areas of DevOps, application modernization, and anything else that makes them more efficient.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys for those intros. So why don't we dive right into some questions that I had about Git and the mainframe and sort of where things are going. I know that's not like the hottest topic right now. Right now, everybody wants to talk about AI, which, you know, I get it. That's fine. But, you know, I was doing some classes and I was doing a couple of things. Like I do this Git for IDZ introduction class. And I had a pretty good turnout and had a lot of folks asking a lot of questions. And it just made me feel like maybe things are ramping up in the Git world. So to both of you, Jen, let me ask you this. With Git sort of gaining a foothold in the mainframe space, like really truly getting in there.
Yep.
I wrote down to say top three, but you know, what are some of the benefits that you see customers experience when they've embraced Git for the mainframe?
It's opening up the way in which they can deliver change. And that's something that, you know, they've had this very rigid format in terms of what we do to get from point A to point B. And the fact now that by adopting Git, it's opening up workflows to work the way they need to work now, not how they worked 10, 20 years ago. How they work now, and it has the ability and flexibility to change based off of what we need. So we can grow with it. I always advise them to start simple and then let it grow based off of what's needed to reinforce their processes and ability to deliver that change.
Nice. Very well put. Kirk, any thoughts?
Of course, I completely agree with that. I think it's interesting, though, your premise there in the beginning, because one of the things I think we're seeing, and it's becoming more and more evident as some of these conversations around modernization specifically and transformation are happening, is that, you know, these initiatives and the capabilities that organizations are looking for, it's very much kind of what I call the, you know, the crawl, walk, run kind of scenario with these. And so, although, you know, as you mentioned, maybe Git's not the sexiest thing, you know, as it comes to modernization and everybody's talking about AI, but we saw the same thing with cloud, right? Cloud came on and everybody's talking about cloud. And then we start thinking about what I want to do with the cloud. Well, then all of a sudden, all of these things that get me ready for the cloud in terms of modernization capabilities or disciplines and the practice areas especially, I don't have those, right? And so I've got to improve. And when I start to try to improve, I need these newer tools, right? And Git kind of falls into that. I think it was like 2017, so it's a little dated, but there was a study that was done, and I apologize, I forget who exactly did it, but I am getting older, so sometimes these things kind of fade off into the mist. But I do remember the numbers, and it was basically 87% of organizations that were polled said that when they tried to make improvements, especially practice improvements or process improvements, if they didn't introduce new tools, they failed. 87% of the time they failed when they didn't. And when you think about it, that makes sense, right? Because the new tools, as Jen was alluding to, are based on how we need to work today, not how we used to work. And so if we're still trying to make changes leveraging the tooling that we used to use, it's very, very difficult to do that in a meaningful, effective, and efficient way moving forward. And so I think a lot of the things that we see sometimes when things like cloud and AI come out is everybody says, I'd love to participate in that, and then realize, wait a minute, that's kind of a run thing and I'm still back here crawling. So we've got to start getting at least, you know, to where we're walking and doing some other things. And, you know, something like Git is clearly in the crosshairs of helping organizations make those changes better.
And the other point is that everything in the marketplace today expects you to have your source in Git. So if you want to be able to run with that, right, you need to address that first element.
You're right. Framework is important, right? Framework is hugely important. And how are we going to get to these, as you said, these sexier mechanisms and tools and implementations? How are you can't get there unless you've got the basics down, the crawl and the walk, right? And building that foundation. So, okay. So in an effort, because everybody wants to speed everything up, right? That's kind of why we're here. What are you guys... top tips for enterprises switching to Git? Would you say that it's, you know, they got to pay attention to a culture shift? They got to talk about, you know, or maybe it's like actually amassing the right folks to set up the infrastructure. What are your tips for switching to Git?
Pick me.
Jen, go.
when you think about the top tips for enterprises, it really depends on who you're talking to. But as when I talk with the executive level, it's all about recognizing it takes time. Some are going to pick it up real fast. Some are going to pick it up a little slower. But this is all that transition stuff. Once that's done, then you're going to get the velocity and flying with respect to those new processes. And the other thing is keep it simple. Because Git is, it's architected for you to be able to grow and to change it as you need to fit to your processes, evolve your process over time. Keep that in mind. You don't have to have that over-engineered, architected system and force fit it. Now everybody's got to learn, you know, all this complexity at one time. We can keep it simple as long as we can deliver those changes. And then also leveraging the skills in the organization. You already have a footprint of knowledge. You just have to tap into it.
Yep. And I would say the one thing that I add to that, and this is kind of my overarching advice when it comes to really modernization in general, and that is just frickin' get started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just get started. We're all kind of technologists at heart, right? And so we get the vision from the executives and everybody buys into that because they want to see the organizational change because that's what's driving the business performance that they're looking for, right? Those business outcomes. But fundamentally, it's the people who are doing the work that have to do those practice changes and change the way they're working. And so that's organizational change. It's never an easy thing. But as technologists, you know, we're very comfortable drawing out the plans, putting the map together. We're going to take this technology and swap it for this technology. And we sit there and we do that analysis paralysis kind of thing forever, right? But agile is all about getting started. Put the big rocks in first. To Jen's point, let's start small, but let's get started. And then we start finding out what we don't know. We start reaffirming what we did know. Things we thought were going to be difficult aren't difficult at all. Maybe a few things we weren't even having in our sights all of a sudden came in, and we have to deal with those. But that's the thing, right? We don't know what we don't know until we get started. So just get started and then start using your own data and your own experiences to start that continuous improvement process and just keep turning the crank.
I feel like after this call, I'm going to have to Slack you guys unless you've already seen it, the Shia LaBeouf meme that from like 2016, 2017, they're like the just do it skit that he did is just, I'll send it to you. If any of our listeners have seen it, that's the attitude. That's the energy we need to come at this with. Right. So, exactly. Okay, cool. So that's the wider, we touched a little bit on, or Jen said about how you don't necessarily want, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you don't necessarily want to have everybody have to absorb and learn all of this new technology all at once, right? Because that can put up potential roadblocks in the wider rollout and achieving that ROI or achieving that next step from walking to running, right? So a lot of times I find in my classes and in the education that I do, where I'm taking ISPF based, you know, veteran developers and showing them the GUI world and helping them, you know, sort of make that step towards what we're all sort of aiming at here. But I've noticed a lot of that is culture based. Is that something have you guys run into that, where you're at shops and talking about this, even at the exec level? Do you ever feel like there's a little bit of trepidation around the culture shift from, you know, previous, I hate saying that word. I'm not going to say legacy. I didn't say legacy, but
heritage,
traditional SCMs or traditional just to the Git world. Right. Any thoughts there?
You know, that's my favorite topic, Kirk. So you want me to go or do you?
go right ahead. Ladies first.
All right. Culture is it's the toughest hurdle. It's one of the things that, as Kirk was alluding to before, keeps people in analysis paralysis, right? They're trying to address the uncertainties and the like, and it's stagnating. When we think about it, though, it may be the toughest hurdle, but it's short-lived. If we will get started, we can address some of that uncertainty. We also have to get beyond this idea, and this goes well beyond this particular space, but people equate change to anxiety. They spiral from there. We need to move beyond and start thinking about it in terms, or do a better job in communicating it with positive emotions like improvement. Let's fix the things that have never worked for us, right? Why are we accepting status quo instead of embracing the idea that change can bring about fixes for those things that we loathe to do, but yet have accepted because we've not had a way out? It's huge.
Yeah,
I think that's the key. That's the key too, is because, you know, fundamentally, We always tend to get sideways on these things a lot of times because we think about the technology and the tools, but the technology and the tools really aren't the focal point. You know, to what Jen's alluding to here, this is really about the change. This is really about, and that has to start with a mindset, right? Because yep. I started as an assembler developer, you know, shortly after the Civil War, it seems like, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where we always did what we did because that's what we always did. I mean, right? The concepts around process improvement in general were not really things that we embraced because we had a way of doing something. It worked. It's not broken. Why in the world are we fixing it? Now we live in a world that has this continuous improvement mindset. And so the first thing you have to do as a leader, and that's why a lot of this comes down to really organizational change management. It's about leaders and helping us, you know, pull alongside those leaders and say, you can help do this for your organizations by basically empowering them to be those change agents, right? And by actually helping them say, this is where we're doing. Don't think of it as we're changing out technology, we're changing tools. First, what we're doing is we're changing our mindset. We're no longer, we've done it this way because this is the way we've always done it and it works, to now, how can we do what we're doing today better in 6 months? And as long as I get that mindset flipped, then I have the proper thing to set all the rest of it on, right? And I can put a process in place to start moving through, like we've talked about before, incrementally getting started, improving as you go through the practice.
And I would say from an industry standpoint, and again, beyond just this space, efficiency, getting things faster, it's everywhere we look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why should it not be here too?
Yep.
Why fear that? I think back into some technology, or should I say outside of the technology area, and if we hadn't changed in those particular places, well, I'm not sure how I'd feel about the day. I mean, I don't want to go to an outhouse every day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go sit up with that phone that was tied to a short cord that was a party line with all of my neighbors. I like my private conversations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's no different here, but we have to think about it in a positive sense, which is we're getting an opportunity to fix what's broken. We're getting an opportunity to improve.
And that means fundamentally it's going to be different. And I think where we've seen organizations be successful with this transition is when the leaders have taken that role to not just cast vision, but actually empower their organizations to change. That is so critical, because because it has to be, that's the challenge with this, right? It has to be a win-win for everybody along the way. And when you're talking to that Endeavor administrator who's done nothing but administrate the Endeavor tool for the last, 15 years, they see this as, oh my gosh, my job's going away, right? So somebody higher than them has to ensure them, number one, that's not the case. You're just going to start doing things differently with different set of technology. And as a matter of fact, you get to be now empowered to be the one who establishes what that's going to look like,
yep,
and how that's going to change, and how that, and you're in the driver's seat for that, right? And when you flip that fear into now being a motivation for moving forward and actually driving change, well, yeah, I mean, the results speak for themselves, right? I mean, you actually get somewhere and people like doing it, it's kind of fascinating to watch.
That's awesome. And that is a huge, that's huge. The way you said that, it just, like you said a couple of minutes ago, hold on, sorry. Let me make sure we're still going. Okay, I'm still going. Sorry, I was staring at the screen and I didn't move my mouse apparently. So, right, it's interesting how you said that a couple of minutes ago. That it's important about to put a positive spin on it, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't think that I could have come up, or anybody I know could have come up with a more positive way of explaining what you just explained. Just taking that fear of change and moving it into like, okay, you are in control, because I feel like that's a lot of what we hit against, right? Is that sort of that measure of control that people just really like to hold on to.
Right.
So that's really cool. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, as the saying goes, fear is a motivator. And a lot of times it's a motivator to not try anything. So if you can remove that, then you can get people move.
Yeah, turn it into positive.
Yeah, get them moving down the change process.
I think one of the other elements is that sometimes we've been conditioned to be in the status quo for so long. It does take those outside agents to help us start seeing it from a different perspective. So I've seen organizations benefit by having that outside view and leadership to be thinking in new ways. I mean, we all go through that, whether it be our exercise programs or other, mm-hmm. it's how you're conditioned. But those benefits are now opening up career opportunities and everything for individuals that have embarked on this, because now they're not pigeonholed into some specialized area, but getting an opportunity to universally go across their organization. I've watched people move that were responsible for the build on Z working now as part of the dev team or the DevOps team and supporting it for ZOS Connect and all sorts of other things. So it opens up opportunities.
Yep.
We just have to have that mindset.
Agreed. It's like we all started off saying this one sort of question segment, culture is the hardest part. Right. And if we can get over that, then you could do anything. That's why I tell folks in my classes all the time, if you actually learned how to program, how to code and how to develop applications using 3270, using ISPF, you can do anything. Right. Like totally.
The thing that gets me is that while the culture is one of the biggest hurdles up front, once we get past the status quo or, I'm cemented into the way I've been doing it for the last blah, 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 it's not broke, into embracing the concept of addressing things that have and always have been broke, then it's short-lived. Mm-hmm. So we go into status quo because of a cultural hurdle that's large but short-lived. Mm-hmm. That moment will be forgotten years, or not even years, but months after you get past that hurdle. Mm-hmm. But yet we let that hurdle stall us for months or years.
Just got to just do it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Just do it. Yep. Okay, cool. Well, just wanted to real quick ask a wrap-up question. Do you guys have any cool events that you're attending or presenting at coming up in the next, I don't know, why don't we really push it out, say like 3 months, that are related to Git for mainframe, or any cool events or anything that you're doing that you want to plug real quick? This is the time to do it.
Well, I get to travel quite a bit because I have the global job. So I will be in, we will be doing some roadshows on app modernization, and I'll be actually talking about how, DevOps and being able to, because fundamentally, app modernization, as I've always said, is at the core, application changes. I mean, you're changing those applications. And so your application change practice has got to be more modern, or you're going to have no velocity at all in any of those initiatives that you're doing, right? So so they really do go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Anyways,
so we'll be I think we'll be in Singapore, we'll be in Thailand, we'll be in Indonesia, Malaysia. And then I think in May, there's a Nordics, the Nordics guys put on a study tour for their clients. And I think that's going to be in Prague in the end of May. And I'll be speaking at that event as well, you know, on similar subjects.
Nice. Prague's a beautiful city. How about you, Jen?
Well, I'm not going international at the present moment. We just finished with our Z Councils and our tech exchanges where we presented on these particular topics. In the next 3 months, I can't think of anything that's in my diary other than customer meeting after customer meeting. We're working hand in hand with customers to make this a reality for them.
Doing the work, right?
I'm doing the work and loving every minute of it. But I do hope to possibly submit some papers for more of our, what do you want to call it? Non-platform centric kind of forums, DevOps summits and the like.
Nice.
Yes.
Because I think it's important of how we're bringing the enterprise together and like to talk to clients about that.
Nice. Are there any playbacks to any of the, like just for my edification, any playbacks for like Tech Exchange or anything like that?
Nope. Okay. They don't do any recordings on Tech Exchange or Z Council.
Gotta be there. Gotta be there. Okay.
Gotta be there.
Okay. Well, guys, once again, thank you so much for joining. Always a pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you for asking.
I gotta say, I am a little nervous that eventually someone higher up than me is going to hear this and they're going to realize that you two should really be the hosts. But, you know, luckily I can fall back on my audio production background to stay involved. But seriously though, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This has been a fantastic, fantastic session. I wish you luck and thanks for tuning into Z DevOps Talks.
Yep.
Thanks, Chris.